If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 19. Thank you for being in the Lord's house today and this midweek service. And we're glad we have our pastor back, and he drove safely from Washington State down this way. I'm pretty sure the car ride, those 18 or so hours together, was harmonious. They all sang songs and praised the Lord, had prayer meeting. No, the grandkids did not fight or anything like that, I'm pretty sure. I went with Pastor Meyer or Pastor Esposito one time. I want to say we were doing some discipleship in the Lake Havasu. We were making sure that we were fisher of fish. While we were there, we took a fishing trip, Lake Havasu in the Colorado River area. And I asked him as we were driving, I said, Pastor, you know, my kids, my children were a little bit younger. And I asked him, I said, do you have ever, your kids, do they get along on car rides? I mean, do they fight or anything like that? He said, never. I said, man, I felt bad. I said, what, are you kidding me? Dad, Tim is touching me. Dad, you know, Ben's breath stinks. I don't know what, you know, he gave all these illustrations. I'm like, wow, Pastor, I feel good. That, not that your kids are fighting each other in the car, but, you know, I have the same problems with the children sometimes. And he's breathing too hard. And my kids are all older now. They don't have that problem. Just, you know, the problems are there. It's just not as big about anything. But, you know, we thank the Lord for our pastor and thank the Lord that he's back. Looking forward to him and leading us this year through another school year, and looking forward to that. You know, one of our, and some of the men have been speaking about it, one of our greatest asset in our ministry, I believe, to me, growing up here at Pacific Baptist Church, is our pastors always speaking about the family and the importance of the family. And sometimes when I was a young person, I was sitting usually in the front row or over here, and I was sitting there, or I was sitting in the second row over there, and I would sit, I'm thinking, I'm not married, I'm not dating, I'm not, you know, I'm in high school, we preach and teach about courtship, and you know, we just trying to serve the Lord, but pastor's preaching on marriage and child rearing. I'm thinking, in the beginning, I'm thinking, how does this apply to me? I thank God that I listened during that time, because it's helped me back in the day when I was a young person in high school, growing up, and in college, being and I was single, learning and sitting there, understanding, if you will, and just comprehending the things that our pastor and the different pastors that spoke on the family. On the biblical family, on child rearing, on the next generation. And it became a core value of mine. And my goal, after hearing that, I said, you know, I want to get married. And my greatest assets are my children. My greatest asset is my family. And I want to do all I can, because I'm going to face God one day. And I have to give an account of my four children and my family. And I'm not concerned about other people's family other than coming to preach God's word and what they do behind closed doors. I want my family to be right. Yeah. I don't know if God's going to call everybody in my family to the ministry. I pray. I want them to do what God wants them to do and doing God's will. But I want them to be successful, not in making money. I want them to be successful in the area of God's will. That's my greatest desire in my heart. Whether they're on the mission field somewhere, whether teaching, whether a plumber, whatever it might be, I want them to see God and say, God, what would you have me to do? And parents, I hope that that's your desire. You know, I talk to young people, or I talk to parents, and sometimes we want our children to do well. We do. We want our children to be successful in as far as, you know, somebody said, and I don't know if I should say this, and they told somebody, man, if they go to the Christian school and a Christian college, then they're just going to be like, and they said some names, and I was one of those names, And I'm glad this parent stood up and said, you know what? That's not a bad thing. I said, they're doing God's will. Well, my kid, if they go to Christian school, they can't get a scholarship in sports. Your kid's no good anyways. Oh, they can't. Okay, I had one parent come to me and they said, or not come to me, but I said, hey, why are you not going to be in school? They said, oh, you know, my mom wants me to get a scholarship. She wants me to be a doctor or a lawyer. And I said, well, congratulations. I'm going to go to Pauley. I think I went to Brother Joseph. I don't know if you remember, Brother Joseph. I said, you know, I'm glad people want to be a doctor or lawyer or whatever. I said, but that guy's not a doctor, lawyer type. And that's kind of bad for me to say that. I was just saying the facts, and he's not a doctor. He's not in school for a lawyer, and he's not doing well.
Yeah.
But the family is important.
Right.
And the pillar and the head of the family is the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me say this. Mom and Dad, your marriage is important.
Yep.
Because how you raise your kids on your marriage will help your children go the right direction.
Right.
And there's a lot of false concepts on marriage. Somebody said, you know, or the world might tell you, you know, a good marriage will not have difficulties. A good marriage, everything will be okay. You won't get into scuffles. You won't hit road bumps in your marriage. If you have a good marriage, you just be happy and no problems, and you never give each other the eye, or you'll never and get upset a little bit, and that's a good marriage. Let me say this. What we're going to learn from the Word of God today is the complete opposite, okay? You say, well, what does that mean, a good marriage? You're fighting all the time? No, that's not a good marriage either. But let me say this. A good marriage in marriage, you'll have conflicts. And what defines your marriage is not the conflict, but how you come out of that conflict.
Yep.
Look, some of you are newlyweds. Jaylene over here just got married. Been 2 weeks, Jaylene? 2 weeks? 2 weeks, okay. I think she's the newest one that just got married. And there's some other people that just got married in here within a year, 2 years or so. And let me say this. On my honeymoon, when I got married, I did some things and I scared my wife, and she hates to be scared, and I tickled her and she did not like that. And then I found out real fast some of her likes and some of her dislikes. I would jump scare her. We're driving on this dark road. We're in the on the island of Kauai, and driving, and we went to do some activities. Come back, and I turned off the lights, pitch black. You can see the stars, but other than that, it's pitch black. And I would also, chupacabra. And she would hit me. I'm laughing. Don't do that. You say, man, that happened in your honeymoon? Yes, but we got over it and it was okay. But I had to know my wife. But strong couples are not couples that have no problems. Strong couples in a strong marriage are those that learn how to work through their problems. Sometimes conflicts are tough to handle. And we may not think that, man, I don't know why I'm married to this person and I have this conflict. It's like, oh, don't worry. I've been married almost 25 years. Pastor married 40-something years. Brother Montgomery, you've been married for a long time.
Yeah.
And these men will tell you, it hasn't all been, yay. It hasn't. There's been times where I know Pastor, and I know Pastor Esposito. I lived with Pastor Esposito, and I know Pastor Myers. I hung out at his house a lot. That's how I got my love for hot dogs, because I would go there. I was hungry, and hot dogs were cheap, and Miss Alma always had hot dogs in the refrigerator, and I just ate hot dogs. And I've seen their marriage. They have a great marriage, but there's been times. I've walked through the hallway. Brother Esposito, if you're watching, Brother Esposito, we're walking. I hear Brother Esposito, Tadis! I'm like, oh, my soul. I'm not telling you anything secret. That's just, you know, why we're coaching and everything. I say, I'm like, man. And if people tell you, oh, we never fight in our marriage and we never have problems, either they're delusional or the definition of disagreements are not right, or number three, They're lying. So you will have some disagreements, and you will have some headbutts during marriage. It's a common thing. Two men lived in a small village. They got into a small or a great dispute, and they couldn't resolve it. They decided they would go and talk to the chief of the tribe to see who's right and see who's wrong. The first man went to the chief's home the first night. He laid out his side of the story and gave all his issues of what happened from his perspective. The chief listened and said to the man, after he listened, he said, "You know what? You're absolutely right." The next day, the first guy had a conflict went to him and told him the whole part of his story and his side of the story. He said, "You know what? You are exactly right. Without a shadow of a doubt, 100% right." That man leaves. The wife comes up to the husband, the chief of the village, said, "Hun, the first man came. He told you a story. You said he was exactly right. The second man came, and he told his side of the story. You said you're exactly right. Honey, there's something majorly wrong. One of them has to be wrong." He says to his wife, "You know, honey, you're right." You say, why? He didn't want conflict. And sometimes we go through life just looking the other way because we don't want conflict. You say, why? That's natural. Some people are more natural than others. They don't want conflict. They want to stay away from conflict. Self-preservation is a component that's by human nature that we have. Like, you know, I just want to live peacefully with all men. But we don't understand sometimes in marriage, every time in marriage, when there's conflict, we have to face it head on. What does the Bible say? Every time in the Bible, or a lot of times in the Bible, when there's conflict, you see a great victory. Joseph, if they apply God's principle. Joseph, in Genesis chapter 15, verse 20, "But as for you, you thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass as to it is this day to save much people alive." You thought it was for evil, but God brought it down for good. You look at Job, had boils all over his body, and he suffered. He lost a lot of stuff. But Job, his perspective in Job chapter 23, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." These people had conflicts in their life and had problems in their life, and they didn't squirm away and not face the conflicts. They faced the conflict with God's grace and overcame those conflicts. In marriage, that's the same way. We cannot run away from conflict. We have to face it and get things right. That's why Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 says, "And you know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose." Our culture is filled with rivalries. You have the Olympic Games just passed, and you have Team USA, and I want to say it's who went the basketball team? Serbia? Anybody know? France? Okay, France. They met up in the I was going to say the Lakers. The USA team won, and there's rivalry there. There's rivalry on country. You're a Democrat, you're a Republican, you're conservative, you are a progressive, or you're a liberal. And there's rivalry in sports. You see products, Coke, Pepsi, Mountain Dew or Sprite or whatever it might be. In politics, you see all these rivalries. And there's and that component of rivalry sometimes come into marriage. We want to outdo each other. We want to say, "Man, in our disagreements, we want to be right." By the way, sometimes it's not about who's right. It's about what can we do to make this better. Never has there been a time where married couples have been pitted together like they are now. TV, if you watch TV in the average marriage, you see a marriage, how that works. It's just a husband that is a dodo. The kids run the show. The wife is some Instagram, person. All they want to do is just be with friends. And that's the family that you see nowadays. And the family has been attacked, and the family, the marriage has been an abomination, if you will. A recent survey says 40 to 50% of all marriages end up divorced. That means Tyler, you're going to stay married. Aaron, divorce. Nathan, married. Bradley, Paul, divorce. Bradley, divorce. And somebody, see who's over here, one of the teenagers. Josiah, you're going to stay married. That's just the stats. Marriage is under attack. Let me say this. I don't know about you. 50%, you say, man, 50%, that's pretty good. No, 50% in marriage, that's pretty bad. I'll tell you what, we just went on vacation. We flew from LAX to Dulles Airport. Just imagine us sitting there. And all of a sudden, the pilot comes out. And he says, well, thank you for flying with Alaska Airlines, flight number 152. Thank you for being here. And, I just want to let you know that we only have a high percentage, 15% chance of making it to Washington, D.C. You know, I don't know about you, but I was like, okay, Somali, let's get the kids out of here. 50%, I'm not taking that risk. You are not going to take that risk. Let me say this. You did not get married, or you're not looking forward to marriage so you can get a divorce. That's not the idea. Here's here's the concept sometimes. Good marriages don't have conflicts. And that's false. You may say, well, if my marriage was like that person next to me, or if you don't know what goes on in between their four walls of their house. Right. You don't know what they're talking about or what they're not talking about or how their relationship is away from this church. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that command themselves. Or commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Conflict will harm a marriage. That's another false concept. Conflict, if you have conflict, it'll harm your marriage. That's false. When people come together, they're either going to, or when people come together, they're going to have conflicts. Look, I go out to eat with my wife. How many of you have a weekly date night? Good, good, good. Some of you need to get on the ball. But sometimes we're not even looking for conflict, Pastor. Hey, hon, what do you want to eat? Well, you pick. No, you pick. No, you pick. No, you pick. We went one time to a nice steakhouse. And I don't know why. They think my wife is hungry or something. They always give her the better steak. And we went to, I forget the name. It's a really expensive steakhouse. And we got a ribeye steak, and she got a ribeye steak. And they handed her the big one. I looked at, they gave me a small one. I looked at hers. I looked at mine. And my wife said, man, mine is bigger. I said, I know. I said, she said, do you want to switch? I said, I'm like, no, it's okay. They gave it to you. You eat it. You sure? You sure? Okay. and it was fine for me. But marriage, there's always going to be a conflict. So how to deal with conflicts? I'll be done. I have about 10 minutes here. I'll be done. How to deal with conflicts. Number one there, if you have your handouts, dealing with conflicts around you. You know, every day your schedule, your job, your finances, the pressure of life, family during the holidays, those times are going to come. School with your kids, with your children, those times are going to come. And then all of a sudden, all these things around you causes conflict. So what do? You have to deal with it. So what do in your marriage? Letter A there, seek unity with your spouse. Ecclesiastes 4, chapter 4, verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a great reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. And woe to him that be alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Seek unity with your spouse. Be a team. Sticking together when you're surrounded by conflict is important. You know, instead of, if you have a conflict, making that problem bigger, you know, what do you do? Stick together. Pray together. Encourage each other. Talk to each other. Strategize together. Say, what can we do to get this, to take care of this? by the way, let me say this. Refuse to blame each other. Your spouse is not your enemy. But you did this or you did that. That's wrong. You got into the mess together. Get out of it together. And make sure you stick together during that time. It's not a time where a fracture comes and you just bail out. Get together and pray together and say, how can we get this done? You're in a financial mess. Well, you spent all the money. That's what's done is done. Let's be disciplined. Let's try to control that money. Oh, well, you know, you did this or you did that. That's done with. Let's come together and see how we could fix it. Letter B, number next, seek the perspective of God. Seek the perspective of God in your marriage. 2 Corinthians 1, the Bible says this in verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation. Now, marriage is tribulation, right? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. Seek God's perspective. Don't try to do it on your own. Say, God, what does the Word of God say? What can I do to get wisdom? Let me say this, parents. Let me say this, husband. Let me say this, wives. Let me say this. A smart person doesn't know all the answers. A smart person knows where to get the answers from. If I don't know and I'm having a problem, you know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna go get some help. I'm not going to try to figure out on my own if I don't know the answer. I'm going to go to wiser, godlier, more seasoned men than me to get help. Many times I've gone to Pastor Myers to get help. Many times I've gone to, Pastor Esposito to get help. You say, why? I don't know the answer, but I'm smart enough to know that they know the answer, or if they don't know the answer, they can get me to somewhere that I can get those answers to help my marriage and my family. You mean God will know that I'm having a bad day and my marriage is a mess? Yes. Just because you walk with God doesn't mean you'll have no problems. You look at Paul. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Wasn't his wife. The difference is that God will help you. What God's word says is up here, and we need to get right on to what God says. Some of us, we look to find answers our own way. Oh, you know, my buddy and your buddy has all these problems with his marriage. Oh, my buddy told me this. Kids, children, they listen to their friends, and their parents give them good sound advice. No, I don't want to do that. My friend said this. Oh, you kids, let me say this. Your friends know a lot. They have a lot of wisdom. They do, right? Your parents are imbeciles, right? And you know what? Listen to wiser, godlier, older people. Pastor Esposito said this. He said, I don't trust anybody under 30. And then he was preaching. When I turned 30, I'm like, oh, yeah, he can trust me now. He said, you know, I don't trust anybody over 40. Get 40? You know what? I don't trust anybody over 50. And he would preach that. You say, what is he saying? Go to wiser, older men to get help. Yeah. And go to wiser, older couples to get help and see what God's perspective is in that area. Number two, dealing with the conflicts between you and your spouse. You have to know and ask yourself this question. What divides us? Maybe it's how they drive. Maybe it's how they spend money. Maybe it's their expectations. Maybe it's how they behave. Maybe it's different manners they have. Maybe they've grew up in a different type of home. But by the way, that's why it's important that you marry somebody with the right beliefs and with the same upbringing. It's important. Yep. You say, why? You're going to live together. Yeah. And you're gonna like the same things. That's why you come to the same church and you like the same people as far as, you know, that you grew up with. You have a higher percentage of a successful marriage than marrying somebody you just knew for a couple months. By the way, be careful. You said, before you get married, parents, teenagers, young people, listen to me. You better do your research. Yeah. You know, a person that goes to apply for a job before somebody hires that person, if they're smart, they're checking backgrounds, they're doing this, they're doing that. And then parents, sometimes somebody wants to date our daughter. And we're like, let me see. Oh, you're alive. Okay, go ahead. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Make sure you scrutinize that young man and watch him and make sure he earns it. Make sure you have the same beliefs. We've had people go off to college and they marry somebody, and that guy is no longer a guy. Oh, you know what? I want transition. This is before transition was popular. So dealing with the conflicts between each other, make sure you know each other's weaknesses and ask questions. And whatever that person's, however their pattern or their mannerism irritates you, make sure you understand what it is, what they like and what they don't like. And don't keep repeating it. Look, I quit tickling my wife after a while. You say, why? She laughs and she hates it. So I understand she hates this, so I'm not going to do it anymore. Or this person hates it, I'm not going to do that anymore. Know each other's life. I know that she likes sushi. So when we go out, one of the options, you want to eat sushi? Oh, you choose what you want. No, it's all you. Let's go eat sushi. You know, she knows that I like meat. She knows I like meat. I like seafood. I'm good with those things. But know their likes and dislikes. Number one, seek to understand your spouse. Seek to understand. Don't just understand. Don't just try to know them on the surface. Okay? If you've been married, make sure you know them. Make sure you know what they, who they are and what they like and how they operate. Letter B, engage in communication. Make sure you talk to each other. Look, my wife and I, honey, let me get permission to say this, but there's been times where we had headbutts and we've had conflict. And I had to step out a little bit. And then I came back. And the Holy Spirit, you know how the Holy Spirit's amazing. He speaks to us. Hey, you idiot. Why did you do that? I don't know if the Holy Spirit speaks to my wife, but I know the Holy Spirit speaks to me. And I go over there. I'm sure he does. I go there, and I sit down with her. And I say, hon, sometimes I don't know what I did wrong, Pastor. Sometimes I know what I did wrong. And my wife, she's smart. She said, I said, you know, I'm sorry. He said, why are you sorry? And there's been times where I don't know why I'm sorry. He said, well, think about it. Let's see. Let's think about why you're sorry. If you can't think about it, then you know what it is, and let's come back and talk about it. He said, man, your wife is just cutthroat. You know, I'd rather have that than she said, okay, and then I don't know why I offended her. And then she would say, okay. I said, well, is it this? He said, that was it. I said, you know what? I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Small words, but make a big impact. So communicate with each other. Ask for forgiveness and get things right. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You know, some married couples, they get mad and they just stay and they let things fester and they let things, I just don't want to talk to them. I'm going to sleep on the couch. I'm not going to talk to you. Well, they did something wrong. They ought to come to me. No. It doesn't matter who's right or wrong. Your marriage is important. Let's go to them and speak to them and get things right. Look, remember, when we got into marriage, we're not there and saying that, man, 10 years from now, 5 years from now, 15 years from now, that's it. No, you went in there because you loved each other. Right. And on the day that you got married, you said those vows, to death do us part. Yep. Make sure you see what you need to get things, or see what you offended your spouse with and get those things right. I just mentioned, make sure you make good use of speaking to your spouse and confessing and getting forgiveness. Make good use of confession and forgiveness. Yes. Letter D, I'm out of time here. Follow a few sensible rules of engagement. Here it is. Rules to live by in the midst of conflict. Don't react inappropriately. Don't be hurtful. The easiest thing to do, and this has never happened to you, but I know it's happened to me. I said some things, I'm thinking, oh, I get that back, put that back in my mouth. And you say things. Sometimes you don't want to say it, but you say it. You know what you do afterwards? Get forgiveness. But you know, make sure you think before you talk. Don't be hurtful. Don't go public. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm mad at my spouse. I'm a blasted on Facebook. The world didn't need to know. Or you know what? I'm going to go talk to my mama. And my mama's going to know what my husband did. Wife, you go talk to your mama. Man, my husband is a jerk. He did this. Can you believe that, Mom? Oh. And then you go home. Your husband has a bouquet of flowers. He gives a nice meal, and you get things right. And then all of a sudden, your mother-in-law looks at your husband and says, what a jerk. You do that to my daughter. Don't go public. Don't go talk to your in-laws and criticize. Don't go to your friends and criticize your husband. And don't go belittle your children or your spouse in front of your children. Make sure you don't go public. Or, you know, I'm going to post it on Facebook and let people know. Well, that helped. She's going to come back. Hey, you posted our problems on Facebook. You know what? I love you more because of it. No, that's not going to happen. Don't make threats. Well, if you do this, I'm going to... Don't always drag and dig up the past. Well, you remember you did that? No, forgiving is saying, I forgive you, and I'm not going to bring up what you did back ever again. So don't drag up the past. Don't allow anger to fester. Get things right. Number three, I'm done. I'm just going to give you the points. Dealing with the conflict behind you. Things in the past will come up. Make sure, in the flesh, you want to bring it up. But letter A, past conflict strengthen God. Past conflict should strengthen or strengthen God. Letter B, past conflicts allow us to assess patterns and discuss preventions. You need those past conflicts, you ought to learn from them and get things right. Letter C, past conflicts build wisdom and offers perspective. I see young people making mistakes all the time. And sometimes I tell my children, you know what, Doc? You know what, ma'am? You're smarter than me. I've never been a teenager. You might want to listen to an older man. I tell our teenagers all that. I see some young couples making a tragic decision. And I'm thinking, ooh, they're going to pay for that one. So past conflicts build wisdom and offers perspective. Not that I know more, because I made some of those mistakes. Number next, past conflicts help me learn how to interact with my spouse. And lastly, past conflicts reinforce our marriage vows. There's some verses on there. I hope this helps you to understand that conflicts will happen in a marriage. Let's stay faithful to our marriage and to our spouse. And here it is. If you don't get anything, get this. When conflicts come, talk to each other, get it right, and say this. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Let's pray.